It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI Studios. 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. An Odyssey Sports Station.
I think first, look, this isn't baseball. And in baseball, you know, you have big name players going to other teams. Like, I would say historically, even as a player and now as a coach, the trade deadline is a bunch of hype. It's a bunch of hype. Like, who's going to move a quarterback? A starting quarterback to another team right now. Who's going to move a starting left tackle? I mean, it rarely happens.
The Afternoon Show with Christian Arcand and Andy Hart starts now on WEEI.
Another good photo on Twitch.
Oh, my God. That's disturbing.
It is a little disturbing.
That one's pretty disturbing.
It's a little like Ryan Clark as Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
I might see that in my nightmares.
Yeah, that's tough.
What's your platform, Mr. Hart? What are you running on?
Make WEEI great again.
No more refs. You don't like refs.
No more refs.
Rookie quarterbacks all have to take a year off.
Yeah. That's actually a good one.
Can you put that picture back up? Because you look like a Dick Tracy villain in that picture.
With like a distorted face, you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of what it looks like.
I don't want to tell anybody how to do their job, but I'm not sure the sizing is dead on.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think my face needs to be slightly larger.
Or like, remember on Conan O'Brien? When they'd have, like, the Schwarzenegger head and there was, like, the different mouth was going out and it sort of off. Like, that's kind of what that looks like, too.
Oh, it was sort of off.
Yeah. That was
MAGA heart, though.
Anyways.
We got any precincts reporting?
On the trade deadline, no. But we do have this from Jacina
Anderson. Did the Patriots trade anybody?
The trade deadline is coming and gone. Oh, my goodness.
Don't ask this!
Wow. How about this? Ken Laird, everybody. A round of applause for Ken Laird, who just purchased us. A big box of donuts.
Thank you, boss man.
How about that? If you complain about something on the air.
I need a new Honda.
Yeah, right.
That's
right.
It's got a lot of miles.
He'll come in and deliver it for you. How about
that? My apartment's so dirty.
This is
like
tremendous.
Genie just like, boom, there it is.
Wow. You know, there's nothing I like more than a
pass those
box
over this
of donuts
way.
At 4 o'clock. There you go. Here's this from Jacina Anderson. She says, as for the Patriots, she tweeted this 18 minutes ago, and by the way, it's 4:02, so the deadline's come and gone. We'll see if anything leaks in here at the end. Anderson tweeted out this 18 minutes ago. She said, as for the hashtag Patriots, it takes two sides to make a deal. It takes two to tango out there, Patriots fans. And the hashtag Patriots aren't going to give away players like Christian Gonzalez.
Excuse me?
Keon, what? Not going to give away Christian Gonzalez.
I never thought there was any consideration of him being discussed by anybody.
Keon White, Devon Godchow, or Kyle Duggar, who teams have been asking for per source. I think this is just basically her saying the only calls they're getting are for these four players, and they're not interested in trading any of those four players. Now, Gonzalez, I understand. White, I understand. Godchow and Duggar, I'd trade either one of them.
What would you trade Godchow for?
I would go for fourth or fifth. I don't know. Would you get that for him?
I don't know. I would trade him.
I'd trade
I'm
him.
Fine with it.
I'd trade with Devon
I don't think
Godchow.
He's a long-term.
I mean, he's 30-plus years old. Like, I mean, you're not going to be keeping him, so you might as well. Kyle Duggar is one who I think, in this scenario right now, you trade him, all of a sudden you have no safeties. You have Jalen Hawkins and Marte Mapu, and that's it. But, like, that's sort of my point. Like, I think with Duggar, you might want to hold on to him. You might consider him a little bit more valuable to you than maybe a team out there would consider him valuable to them if they traded for him. Does that make sense? Like, he has more value to you because you don't have any other safeties.
And he's a leader on the team. I don't know if he's necessarily a vocal leader, but he's a leader on the team.
And I think Godshaw's kind of a leader on the team, too, but he's also, you know, like, is he playing well this year? Is he someone that has any leadership good on this team right now? I don't know if Duggar's a good leader. I don't know anything. I know that this is a tough locker room right now, and it doesn't seem like there's any real leaders. But Gonzalez and White, at the very least, are two young players in their early 20s who are active right now and who are playing different levels of well this year, I'd say. I think White started off well. He's kind of petered off since then.
Gonzalez has been good all year. I thought White was actually active on Sunday.
He was good. He did have another one of those horse collar tackles, but I mean, you know.
But I think that comes with his high motor kind of reckless abandon style of play.
He did promise he was not going to stop committing penalties.
Yeah, so, you know, and a man of his word. Guy's a man of his word.
Anyways, the thing I would say, Gonzalez and White, I get. Godshaw and Duggar, not so much.
Duggar, for me, I would not trade if I were Elliot Wolf. Because I think, as you said,
makes
like
you look bad, yeah.
But then it really makes you look bad. Like, what were you asleep at the wheel when you gave him $58 million in the spring? What changed between now and then that you no longer want him to be part of your team? That would make no sense. You know how they think, they generally assume draft picks get the benefit of the doubt. They make the roster. They stick around longer. Because the guy who drafted him wants to look right. GM's like, no, we're keeping him. We're playing him. I would use that mentality if I were Elliot Wolf with Kyle Duggar, because I think it makes you look really bad, unless you get, you know, I guess if you got a first-round pick for him, some desperate team really fell in love with Kyle Duggar and you were able to swap him for a first-round pick, maybe that would be okay. Other than that, the one that jumps out to me, though, is the inclusion of Christian Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Teams are ballsy, huh?
Yeah.
Is that John Lynch? Remember he was the one who asked if Brady was available?
Probably,
Does John Lynch call and be like, hey, Gonzalez? Gonzo?
Listen, the Patriots suck. When you suck, people try and pick your carcass clean. That's what happens.
But do they think they're that? So you have what might be one of the top three young corners in football.
Okay.
You pushing back?
I'm play along.
You want to push back?
I'm trying to think of who else I might put there. But sure.
Push.
Push away. I'll play it out for now.
He might be one of the top young corners in football. Top three. On a team that has nobody. We did the exercise. They have nobody. That's a building block.
They don't.
They're going to trade Christian Gonzalez, who I'm being told by all the aggregators and all these internet websites that he's like the second coming of Deion Sanders. He's matched up with everybody. Now, Paul Perillo didn't feel quite that way when we had a chat with him off air prior to the show yesterday down at Gillette Stadium. But Christian Gonzalez is
top three in the league.
Is he top three on your team?
He's definitely top three on your team.
Okay.
So top three young corners in the league. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Sertan, I'd have number one, right?
How
he's
young
still
is he?
He's still a young corner. Sauce Gardner's still young. I probably have him ahead of.
Jalen
although he's
Johnson's
not been as
25.
Good this year. Who's that?
Jalen Johnson for Chicago.
Jalen Johnson. Okay.
Okay. Top five young corner.
McDuffie in Kansas City's pretty good. Like I don't know. I mean, there's other guys, but sure.
Who would
fine.
You take, McDuffie or Gonzo?
Probably Gonzo.
Me too.
Yeah. No, I don't know. It'd be tough, actually. I like McDuffie. I'm thinking about it. Like
he stuck with him for 2 seconds.
You brought this up, kind of. Dad wasn't expecting to defend it.
I wasn't expecting to have to discuss the possibility of Gonzo being included in trade talks.
Hey, take it up with Jacina Anderson. She's the one who was.
Is there any chance that she wrote the wrong name or something?
I don't think people are trying to trade for Barmore. And
so why did no one ask for Drake May?
Rookie. Who trades their rookie quarterback?
I don't know. I'm just saying, if you're going to ask for Gonzo, have some balls and ask for Drake May.
Maybe someone did ask for Drake May. I don't know.
I just told you, Fitzy and I did the exercise. 16 teams would take Drake May. If you're going to have the cojones to ask for Gonzalez, you should have the cojones to ask for Drake May, too.
Yeah, probably. Either way, I don't know that. I think right now Drake May is considered like a franchise quarterback, and Gonzalez is considered a very good corner, but is not played enough. You know what I mean? Like,
Drake May's played 3.25 games.
Right.
And he's lost every one he's finished.
Right.
And yet Gonzo hasn't proven himself?
Kind of, yeah.
Wow.
I think by the NFL, the way they look at it, I think that's a reasonable take.
I think Gonzo's borderline a franchise corner.
And Patrick Surtain's 24. He's still very young.
Okay, so yes,
he's
very young.
He's better than Gonzo.
He's been in the league for how many years? 3 years? Four? Three?
Something like that, yeah. He was drafted in 2021, I want to say. So, yeah, he was Jones draft, I think.
Yeah, so this is his fourth NFL season. That's why I don't feel like he's that young.
Yeah, he's been in the league a while.
He's beyond the average NFL career.
There's some other guys there. But, yeah, I'd say Gonzalez is considered. He's well-regarded in the NFL. I think right now Drake May is passing. I think that's happening right now. And I think it's because Gonzalez didn't play last year.
And it's also because he's a quarterback, and that's just different. And I also think people realize young franchise quarterbacks don't get traded.
Right.
Most quarterbacks don't get traded.
We have one more trade.
Ooh, play
hit the thing. Yeah, hit the buzzer. We're not going to get
hit
it again.
My music.
I think this is probably the last one, and I don't think the Patriots are doing squat. So one more trade here in the NFL at the deadline, which came and went about 9 minutes ago. This one coming in right under the wire. Do we have the music? There we go. Texans. The Houston Texans have traded defensive tackle Khalil Davis to the 49ers for a 2026 seventh-round pick. Weren't the Patriots looking for help at DT?
Yes.
Am I crazy? Could have had Khalil Davis. I don't know if Khalil Davis is any good, but you could have had him for a seventh-round pick.
In 2026. Not even 2025.
Right.
2026. I'm sick of these 2026 picks being traded. I'm also sick of the pick swappages, where it's like you trade a player and a pick for the other pick. It makes it tough to really analyze the value.
Yeah.
I got to get out the stupid chart and start counting numbers and averaging out rounds. I'm not a smart man.
No. The last thing fans wanted to see today, and I mean the last thing, I did a very scientific Steve Kornacki-esque poll about what the Patriots should do at the deadline. And I had four options: seller, stand pat, buy small, or buy big. And the smallest return by far was stand pat. All right? This is
boring.
6%. No one wanted to see him stand pat. I think in the past, like, people wanted the Celtics to stand pat in the offseason, right? Don't do anything. Keep the team.
Right.
Keep them all back and bring them back. So it's not like no one ever wants that. But that's not what anyone wanted for this Patriots team. At the very least, sell off some pieces. Maybe add a little bit. What I kind of wanted to see was just clearing out some of the crap and bringing in some young players and seeing if anything sticks, because right now it doesn't seem like anything's sticking. They threw a bunch of stuff at the wall. They gave money to some people who they had on the team last year. The people that they brought in, they tossed up against the wall. Nothing's sticking at all. And I feel like, okay, you're in a position where you can make a couple of trades and bring in some guys and just see if anything improves, if things start to get better. They can't get all that much worse. You're the worst team in the league right now in a season where everybody sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the whole league sucks, and you're the worst team. You know, like, that adds an extra layer of this. And I think that if you were going to do nothing, that almost implies being content, being the worst team in the league in a down year in the NFL. And that, I think, is the least acceptable outcome here, isn't it? I mean, that's the one thing you can't do in a season like this, Elliott Wolf. You can't do nothing, and they're doing nothing.
Also, it doesn't really give an indication what they're doing. They're not tanking.
Right.
He said they wouldn't tank, so okay, you didn't tank. You didn't sell off pieces, which means you're not looking to acquire the number one pick. But you also didn't get better in a year where there's a bunch of mediocrity and maybe you could steal a few games. So what is it you'd say you do here?
Yeah. What's going on there?
Yeah, and they have so many positions where you could argue they need even a bottom-of-the-roster player.
Mm-hmm.
I think cornerback, safety, linebacker, defensive line, offensive line, hell, wide receiver if you make a move, even running back. Every position you could use a bottom-of-the-roster player to at least rotate through. And they couldn't find a bottom of the roster player, or trade somebody away.
I'm
kind of surprised. I really thought, with all the reports we had of,
we're stuck with these wide receivers all year.
No, I don't know if you're stuck. You could cut.
You could cut him, I suppose. But I mean, you're not.
But yeah, this is your wide receiver room.
Yeah, this is
you're
it.
Not getting better.
Right.
You're not adding wide receivers now. This is your room. This is your room. Now, how do you forget you? How do you think Drake May feels?
Probably not good.
Did you see the AI Drake May clip making the rounds?
I did not.
You know those, like, press conferences where they just put fake voices of his together?
Yes.
And
they
first
do that for everybody. Yeah,
everybody.
I know,
and
about
it made me, like, the receivers suck, AVP sucks, my coach sucks.
Was it in his voice?
Close enough to make me laugh. It wasn't the best one ever, but it was enough to make me laugh.
Dang old wide receivers stink all out that dang room.
Did you hear Fitzy did a long Arcand impression the other night?
Oh, I missed
long
it, though.
Long one.
Really?
Yeah.
I got to work on my Fitzy.
I told him you were workshopping a Fitzy.
Yeah. It's not good. It's still very Dennis Miller. And I know he doesn't even sound like Dennis Miller. That's the thing.
Well, that's what I don't really understand.
You know, but when I try and do his voice, it sounds like Dennis Miller. It's a weird thing. I'm working on it. I'll come up with something here. But right now I'm getting killed in the impression thing. He's absolutely killing me. 617-779-7937. Let's go to our good friend and ageless wonder, Stephen Fall River. Go ahead, Steve.
61.5.
Wow, how about that? Now, you had we were discussing your age last time you called.
If you see me, and I told you I was 51.5, You wouldn't argue with me.
Well, then I'd hear your voice and know that you weren't. But either way, there was people who called in after that, and they were all talking about what a great guy you are, and they must have had the wrong guy. But they were all saying, oh, yeah, Stephen Fall River, he's the best guy, and he's not 75, whatever I said you were. He's in his early 60s, and so I apologize, Steve. I was wrong. What's on your mind today?
One fellow did say that I was on as a shtick, and guess what? He's completely wrong. He doesn't know me that well.
Okay.
What I tell you is from the bottom of my heart. Uh-huh. I went to the game on Sunday. I sat in a very nice seat, perched up high in the stadium, looking down at the team. I saw Drake May. I'm happy with Drake May. I like his attitude. I don't care that he got picked off. I see him throwing balls into tight spaces. I saw him make just about every throw I wanted to see him make. He made it out, 20-yard out. He threw off his back foot and blistered something to a guy and got it into him, and he caught it. He actually threw a ball, a short ball to somebody. He had too much velocity on it. I don't like to see him running, and I know why he's running, because he's got problems with the rest of his team. The rest of the team is complete disaster.
Yep.
The team is terrible. Did someone tell me why they used the two timeouts out in the overtime before they even had the ball? At every layer in the
because they were running the clock out. That's why. I mean, thanks for the call, Steve. We're up against the break, but that's why. I mean, they were getting run down their throat, and they didn't want to have them make the last play of the overtime.
There was a chance they didn't ever see the ball.
They might not get the ball back just because they were running them over, which you've seen now this year a bunch at the end of these games. You've seen the Patriots get run off the field at the end of these games, in the close ones anyway. When it's a one-score game, that's generally how those games end. It's unfortunate. Anyway, thanks for the call, Steve. 617-779-7937. I promise some Red Sox talk. I promise we were going to talk some Red Sox. We'll do that next, because they've made a qualifying offer to Nick Pivetta that, if you've been following along with what Breslow's been saying to people like Alex Speer and Rob Bradford and others like that, this may be the start of another disappointing offseason. I hate to put it like that, Andy, but I don't feel great about this based on a qualifying offer. I'll tell you all about it right after Stiz. Get you caught up on what's trending on a pretty lame NFL trade deadline, right, Stiz? Yeah, tell him.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
There's a pitch. Fastball is by him as Pivetta screams at Chisholm as he walks off the mound. Nick Pivetta is fired up. 95-mile-an-hour four-seamer. Now it's a little chatter back and forth as Nick walks off that mound. He is feeling it here. No hits through six for Nick Pivetta.
From back in June, I want to say, that was Nick Pivetta's best start of the year. It had a no-hitter going against the Braves. Was that against the Braves? He said Chisholm, so no, it must have been against the Marlins, game. Right? Yeah, not the Braves. Excuse me. He had a good game against the Braves, though, too, and was overall not bad last year. Not a great record. Record is 6-12, but an ERA of 4.14, a whip of 1.13, and a lot of strikeouts. 172 strikeouts there for Pivetta, who had multiple games, 10 strikeouts. Seemed like he had some months where I considered him to be, I don't know if he was one of the better starters in the league or anything like that, but certainly in the month of September, he was out there giving you quality starts pretty much every time it was his turn. And someone that I thought was probably all done with the Boston Red Sox. I didn't think that Nick Pivetta was someone they were going to focus on bringing back. It just didn't seem like that was the way they were going to go. It seemed like, and I thought Breslow was talking a lot about upgrading its starting pitcher. And with Pivetta out the door, you still have Houck, you still have Bayo, you still have Cutter Crawford. You know, there's other guys you can go out and get. Giolito's going to be coming back here. So, yeah, Pivetta's out the door. But now here's an opportunity to bring in whoever. Pick a starter that you really like. Corbin Burnes, whoever it is, you know, like someone like that.
They are the favorites to land him, according to one email from some sports book I got.
So, that's great, and that's nice, and I hope that they do get him. But they just extended a pretty significant qualifying offer to Nick Pivetta, and I see that, and all of a sudden now, I think that this is a new, like, this offseason I was always skeptical. You know this, Andy. We argued about this. You're gung-ho thinking Craig Breslow is going to spend a ton of money and save the day, and that John Henry's going to completely switch up everything he's been doing for the last 4 years, what have you. I'm skeptical because I think that's just the right way to be. I mean, you protect yourself a little better that way. But here is what Breslow said, articulating the reasoning behind a one-year, 21 and change million-dollar deal for Pivetta. A qualifying offer that basically no one was expecting. I wasn't expecting this. I don't know if you were. I don't think a lot of people were. I don't even know if Pivetta was expecting it. I remember we talked to Pivetta at the Jimmy Fund, and he, you know, we were talking to him about the team and Alex Cora and sort of these things, and I didn't get the sense that I was talking to a guy who was expecting to be here for a long time after this season. It just, and he didn't say that. But you get just that vibe, I guess, and that's sort of what I was thinking. And it's only 1 year, so maybe it won't be a long time beyond this, but I was surprised to see this. Here's what Breslow said. We had a bunch of internal conversations, and without getting too far into the specifics, we've been pretty outspoken about our need for pitching. Obviously, we know Nick really well. This is ultimately where we landed. We'll see how it plays out from here. First of all, I hate that. That sounds like what the Patriots did. Well, we really need pitching, but we know Nick. We know what we got here with Nick Pivetta. We may need some pitching, but we don't need to go out there and spend a ton of money. We got Nick Pivetta right here on 21-05 or whatever it is in the qualifying offer. And we know what Nick Pivetta is, so that's much more valuable than going out and spending more than $21 million on someone that we don't know very well. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like that type of reasoning, especially when you're talking about a disappointing team, which the Red Sox were this year and the Patriots were last year. I don't like bringing back guys that you're familiar with from disappointing teams. That to me is always a losing strategy, with some exceptions, but in general, I feel like that's a losing way to go about it.
So you wouldn't want Nick Pivetta back. I mean, because $20 million for a starting pitcher who's going to start. I mean, he started 26 games last year. He was the next guy. They could have had four guys make 30 starts. He would have been next in line.
Yep.
I don't, in Major League Baseball, for a starter like Giolito, isn't he making $20 million a year?
Yes.
So I don't think the fallback idea of Pivetta.
But that was on the free agent market. That wasn't as a qualifying.
No, I know. But also, this protects you to get the draft pick or whatever the hell, wherever that comes, blah, blah, blah. I just think you look at it, I don't know how much better I can do for $20 million on a pitcher, a starting pitcher.
So then pay more than $20 million and cut the crap is what I say.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know I want him long term. He's 32 years old.
I'm not talking about Pivetta. Spend more than $20 million on somebody else.
I think they still might. I think they're kind of, this is more of a depth, value-based, whatever type move.
I'd like to think that. I really would.
I don't like when you get this way.
This is what they do, Andy. This is how they operate. It's not
have
just
operated.
Now have operated, but are operating presently. This is how they're operating, and I don't like it. And I'm this is familiar to me. This seems like something they do. This is a recognizable pattern with this group, and I don't like it. This is when you upgrade. This isn't when you bring back Nick Pivetta. I'm sorry, and I don't hate Nick Pivetta either. I think he's a decent pitcher, but this is where you upgrade. This is where you go out and say, you know what? We're going to take that $20 million. We're going to pancake it onto something else, and we're going to go out and get Corbin Burnes. Or whoever it is.
What if they get Corbin Burnes and have Pivetta in the back of the rotation?
Then I'll be very happy, all right? But I think this is a step away from that. $20 million to Pivetta, 21, whatever it is, I feel like is a step away from that stud ace that we're all hoping for.
I do have my concerns. And there's another guy that's in the news at this point, early in the hot stove talk, Teoscar Hernandez.
Yep.
ESPN, who was it? Alden Gonzalez says the Red Sox could make a push to sign Hernandez once he hits the open market. Obviously, we know there was previous interest in Hernandez, but they wouldn't go where he needed them to go. And he went to the Dodgers, wins a World Series, had a great year. His numbers at Fenway are awesome. He would be. Do you think he's an upgrade over Tyler O'Neill, correct, at Fenway Park?
Yes, I would say so. But I also think that Tyler O'Neill is someone I would have rather they gave that offer to, a qualifying offer to. I would have rather they gave it to him instead of Pivetta.
I'd rather have the right-handed bat, an upgraded starting pitcher.
But what if you have Pivetta, upgraded starting pitcher, and upgraded that right-handed bat, Teoscar Hernandez?
I'd be fine with that, too. But I'm just saying, like, when it comes to the qualifying offer, I would have rather seen that money given to O'Neill, and then maybe you can get somebody else, too. But that's I'm so tired of them letting these right-handed power bats who work at Fenway Park just walk out the door after a year. It's so annoying. It happens all the time, and I'm sick of it. So I would have rather they didn't do that. But, you know, if they can get a Hernandez, fine. But this is more ifs. It's more ifs for a group that I don't believe in.
There's a lot of ifs, and there is some of the who do you trust? Who do you not trust? Does the Henry stank, for lack of a better word,
gross,
right? Does it overwhelm whatever Breslow might want to do? The optimism of Alex Cora late in the year when we talked to him at the end there.
Yeah.
Like, he clearly had optimism. And I don't think that optimism is solely based on, A, the guys he has, or even, B, the guys in Worcester. Some of that optimism, maybe I'm reading way too far between the lines here, I just feel like he feels like they're going to put together a representative team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the AL East, you're not putting a representative team together if you don't spend some money, right? Like, I just don't believe you can really, like, even the Orioles, right? They had all those guys come up, and then they decided, well, we got to go get Corbin Burns.
Right.
Like,
Burns, who got a qualifying offer too, I think. Right.
Didn't
Baltimore give him
one? I believe
so.
So that optimism mixed with opportunity, mixed with, I think, some outside pressure. I do think there's outside pressure. Now, you could argue there's been outside pressure, and they didn't bow down to that pressure.
I would agree. There's been that for several years now, and even before this, and they don't give a crap. Yeah.
So this is a really interesting offseason, and it's almost, what's the old saying, like, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. Now we're almost down to, like, what's fool me three times, fool me four times, right? That's where you could be going with the Red Sox. But I'm not getting negative yet. It's early on. The World Series just ended. I think Bradfo's down at the winter meetings, right? I think they're in San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, pieces, he'll start to be doing Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, and we'll start to get some positive vibes out of there or something. Maybe he'll sit down with Teoscar Hernandez again. Didn't he have that sit down with him previously?
Yeah, and I think that's why Hernandez didn't want to come here.
Oh, well, it could be true.
Yeah, he was I don't think so.
They're trying to give him Baseballs and Boring t-shirts.
Right. He's like, no,
not even a t-shirt. Give him a sticker.
No, thank you.
Just
that
the sticker.
Okay.
Could you put this on your chest, please?
Yes. Texter is saying O'Neill is not eligible for a qualifying offer. I'm pretty sure he is because Chris Cotillo reported that they're not going to give him the offer.
Right. So why would they not give him something he's not eligible
for? If he wasn't eligible for it, I don't think Cotillo would have reported
that. Yeah, 617. Arcan told you to suck it.
Yeah, I did. Either way, that's where the Red Sox are right now. It's not dire straits or anything, but those are five starters, right? You got your five starters there. You got Bayo, Giolito, Tanner Houck, Pivetta now, and Cutter Crawford. That's five.
Mm-hmm.
All right? They could look at that and say, well, there's our five. Now we just need, you know, our swing starter long man out of the bullpen or whatever, and we're all set. We're back to go, ready to go back into the season. And I think that's really, really bad.
Maybe that's Pivetta. They sent him to the bullpen. Was that 2 years ago?
They did that. And he was not happy about it. That's another reason why I thought he wanted to leave.
As any member of... No, Jaron Duran was dinkier about the until you catch a fly ball twilight at Fenway Park. The second dinkiest player in recent years was Pivetta when they were sending him to the bullpen.
Mm.
That was as dinky as anybody on this team.
He did not care for that, no. 617-779-7937. Let's go to our good friend Sorja in Mansfield. Hi, Sorja.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are we today?
How you doing, Sorja?
So, yeah, I'm doing very well. I hope you guys are doing well as we can close
doing
out this
great
year. But
yeah. We got donuts. We're doing great.
I know. Much better now. Thank you. Yes.
That's awesome. So, really quick here, you know, I just think that this Red Sox, team is just summed up in, like, this, right? Every single season, they kind of come and after the All-Star break, they kind of come off that sugar high. And it kind of comes down to that it seems like, at least for this year, they kind of went up against a lot of the better teams in that after the All-Star break. And I think some of the key needs that they need is a frontline starting pitcher, some bullpen, and maybe a key right-handed bat. I mean, I don't know if you guys mentioned.
We lost you, sorry.
Right now is,
who? Your phone's cutting out. I'm going to let you go. But, there's other guy. Pete Alonso, I think, got a qualifying offer today. Sean Manaea,
I had a list open just a minute ago, but I think there's other guys out there who I think you're gonna be looking at, and there's gonna be calls made, and maybe they'll get off their ass and do something. But it's hard to feel that way. The first move is an offer now to Pivetta, who's probably going to take it. I don't think he's leaving. I don't think he's going to sign somewhere else. I think he'll probably take that offer, do the year 21, and then move on. That's more than I think he'd make in the open market.
Truly, I believe this is the last struggle, to be honest with you.
That's right, Alex. I'm with you. I feel that optimism. So
That's awesome.
He's going to be 32 years old on February. Valentine's Day, baby.
Oh, very nice.
February 14th, he turns 32, so it's going to be his 32-year-old season. I don't know if he could get a multi-year deal. If I were him, I'd take it.
Yep.
He's not coming off a great year, 6-12, 4.14 ERA, but 26 starts. It's not terrible.
Top 30, I think, in strikeouts.
That's a pretty good year.
Yeah.
And if I could get a multi-year deal, I would take it.
Okay.
Absolutely.
The other 13 free agents to receive qualifying offers are Soto, Burns, Bregman, Freed, who I like. Willie Adames, Teoscar Hernandez, Christian Walker, Manaea, Severino, Santander, Alonso, and Nick Martinez.
And Severino and Martinez are pretty much in the same boat as Pivetta. They're roughly the same age and same sort of quality starting pitchers.
Yeah. I think Severino's probably a little better. But yeah, I think in general you're about right there. Those are the guys getting qualifying offers. I feel like they're all, maybe not all of them, but a lot of them are considered a tier up from someone like Pivetta, which, again, I mean, listen, this may end up not meaning anything. He may end up taking another offer somewhere else and walking out the door. You get the draft pick, and then you go out and you get your starter, and that would be fine. I'd be fine with that. I'd be fine with them getting Pivetta and another starter. It just, this to me seems like, we're familiar with him. We know who he is. We know it's not a ton of money. We're getting good bang for our buck here.
Short-term commitment, which they've been big with pitchers in recent years.
That's another thing that they really like, and I don't like this strategy. I feel like the strategy, if this is what they're doing, and maybe they'll surprise me, but it's just, it reeks of Red Sox standing pat, but not really. Like, you know what I mean? Like, fake moves. This isn't a real move. This is a fake move.
What if they're trading a starting pitcher in a deal for a better starting pitcher?
Great.
Like, maybe this is a move to fill a hole, I would say. What if they have a deal for somebody and that team's like, I got to get an arm back. I got to get an arm back. And that's a way to fill out. Because you were saying, well, if sort of everything falls into place,
right,
there's no spot for anybody else. This is your rotation. But I wonder if there would be an arm. I'm just spitballing here. It's early. I don't think we need to be jumping off of anything or onto anything.
No, but it's not the start I was hoping for. I guess I was just...
But what'd you hoping for?
That they'd give this to Tyler O'Neill instead of Pivetta.
Yeah, I don't love Tyler O'Neill. He's fine, and I agree with you. I liked Renfro more.
I know he gets hurt a lot. That's true, but yeah.
Like, that doesn't bother me, and I'd rather have Teoscar Hernandez. Like, there's other bats I'd rather have, and you're right. If he gets hurt, then we're just going to be bitching that he's making $21 million to be hurt all the time.
Yeah, probably.
So I don't really want to do that. I don't want to go down that road.
Fair enough. We'll see. We'll see what Breslow ends up doing and how this all ends up going. But I think in general, I'm still not sure what you heard from Breslow that made you believe so much.
Because
when I hear him talk or when I read these quotes or whatever, I hear him and I go, man, this sounds like what they always say. This sounds like what Bloom was saying. It sounds like
No. The kind of specific
like that,
one
yeah.
to, was it Spear, Alex Spear, that had the chat with him, and it was like, this is the point in time where you compliment your young players with you go out. I forgot exactly how he worded it. There was a good quote in that story that made
right after the
like,
season ended. I sort of
this was
this,
like
yeah.
the crossing of, yeah, we have the foundation in the minor leagues, we have the young major leaguers, and now this is where you supplement all of that with some aggressive acquisitions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm paraphrasing probably very loosely and more optimistically than it may have actually read at the time. But it was something along those lines.
Yeah.
And I married that up with Cora. And I said, if he's optimistic and he's talking acquisitions and Cora's optimistic and saying, we're not going to stink anymore, they have reason for optimism. They're not just blowing smoke into the wind.
And Andy, you also said that Cora probably wouldn't have signed here for 3 more years if he just knew that they were going to continue to cheap out.
I think he and Breslau, no, it's
paying him a lot of money.
But he could have got a lot of money anywhere.
More from
he was going to make $7 million a year somewhere in Major League
Maybe,
Baseball.
Maybe, but his family's here and it's a good contract and it was convenient for him. I don't know. I mean, that's true.
But it didn't feel convenient for him in February. felt inconvenient. It was an inconvenient truth, to use a political past phrase.
Well, then maybe he got suckered by him, too. I don't know.
Well, that's possible.
It's to me, if you're going to say, well, yeah, okay, I'll take that, but only if you promise that you're going to go out there and spend, and you say that to the Red Sox, then you're being very, I don't know, naive, the right word? You're definitely putting a lot of trust into a group that I don't think has earned it. Let me put it that way.
And I don't know where that trust lies. I am kind of connecting Breslow, because I thought if you went... This was a multi-week process for me. This was a multi-week, the comments back and forth between the two. It was like, they suddenly kind of got on the same page. They suddenly seem like they're more allies. Because before that, it was that uncertainty. It was like, well, Cora's not really Breslow's guy. Could Breslow want to go get his own guy? What's going to happen here? Cora's not happy here. And then all of a sudden, they started to kind of blend in and become one voice and one sort of feeling. And I may be wrong, but I think... both of those guys believe this is going to be a different offseason.
Who had a better trade deadline, the Red Sox or the Patriots? That's not even a question. What did the Red Sox even do with the trade deadline? I can't even remember now. What did they do?
They got Jansen. They got the...
Danny Jansen.
Yep.
The right-handed power bat, backup catcher, and those two relievers.
They got the from Cincinnati.
Two relievers.
Yeah, Luis something and the other guy.
And then didn't you host the post-game show or something?
I believe I did, yeah.
Jesus, you have just wiped them from your memory.
I kind of have, yeah. I mean, listen.
Now, they were meaningless.
Wasn't much of a deadline.
They were not even pimples on the bum of the season.
Like, right. They got Paxton, James Paxton. They traded for him.
That was
like before the deadline. At the deadline, they got the two relievers and Jansen. And
just pure volume, the Red Sox win.
They did more. That's
and they
true.
Did it theoretically appropriately.
Right.
It didn't work, but in theory, you could at least make an argument for it.
Yeah. All Sims, one guy's name was Sims.
Yes.
Steven Sims from Cincinnati.
All the Patriots did was trade away Josh Uche.
Yeah.
That's all they did.
Yeah, that's it.
They gave away Josh Uche, who had two tackles, two solos for Kansas City. Didn't even have a tackle for a loss or a sack. I don't know what I was watching.
Yeah. Lucas Sims, Luis Garcia, Danny Jansen, James Paxton, and Quinn Priester. I just met her. So there you go. That was the deadline moves made by the Red Sox.
It's more active than the Patriots.
It's more active, but was it better? I guess we'll see. I guess we'll find out. It's not like you got much for Uche to begin with either. So, yeah. And this is also a season where you're like, the Red Sox were in contention at the trade deadline.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Patriots are not. Like, this is part of their rebuild, what they're doing. The Red Sox were actually in contention.
And you could argue if the Patriots get better, if you're of my way of thinking, maybe that's worse.
Yeah.
Because you point out that there's nine teams with two wins. That means you could go from the number one pick to the ninth pick very quickly.
Sure.
And that's a massive jump. Mm-hmm. In most years, that's going from guaranteed blue chip prospect to probably not a blue chip prospect. A lot of times there's some line at like 6, 7, 8 somewhere where people are like, oh, they're still good, but they're not studs. They're not blue chip prospects. So depending on your motivations at the trade deadline, I could argue the Patriots won because they didn't get any better. You didn't accidentally get better.
It's true. I'd agree with that.
Hey, I swayed him.
But I also think that if you're picking in the top
10. How about me?
And you don't need a quarterback, you're going to get a blue chip prospect. I still think that too. If you don't need a quarterback and you have a top 10 pick, you're going to get a blue chipper, I think.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Because you'll be picking 1 through 6 of the rest of the prospects that
what
are
if
out
I'm
there.
I'm picking 9th.
Then you're getting a top 6 pick, basically.
I guess who's going to be looking at draft?
Because you don't need a quarterback. That's the point. There's going to be at least 3 quarterbacks go ahead of you, so you're going to be getting the top 6 out of everything else. You see what I'm saying?
I hear your theoretical logic, but I'm going to counter it with facts from recent drafts when I get a chance.
I don't know how you can counter it for something that hasn't happened yet, but let's go to the phones. David is in the car at 617-779-7937. Go ahead, David.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Here's my whole thing on the Red Sox and the Patriots. They are, I hope we enjoy the stance what we had for the last 20 years, because we're not going to see it anytime soon again.
Agreed.
We're not going to see it with the Patriots. We're not going to see it with the Red Sox. The biggest one of the mistakes the Red Sox made was sign Alex Cora in the middle of the season. They should have waited until the end of the season. Okay? They were looking promising, and they went to hell.
Wait, you think they still should have signed him, though? They still should have signed him at the end of the season?
No, I think they should have parted ways with him.
Okay.
Well, I think that would have been the right move.
That's different, but okay.
Yeah, I really do. And the Patriots, you know, I'm sorry to say, but, you know, we love Gerard, don't get me wrong, but he's not ready to be a head coach. And the other coaching staff, let's not even talk about that.
Okay, fine. David, it said on your call screen, lack of spending, and then you talked about how the manager and the coach are bad. That doesn't really have much to do with a lack of spending, but I do think both teams
should spend more on their rosters, absolutely. And I think the coaching situation with the Red Sox is mostly fine. I didn't love giving him the extension at the time that they did because they were in the middle of a losing skid after the deadline there. Or not after the deadline, after the All-Star break. And that was a little, you know, timing wasn't great. And Gerard Mayo's probably in over his head. But for the Red Sox, I'm okay with their coaching situation. Patriots, not so much, but the jury's still out there. 617-779-7937. The trade deadline has come and gone in the NFL. The Patriots didn't do squat today. And the NFL kind of sucks. We'll get to all of that next.
WEEI.
I love EEI, man.
WEEI. WEEI. New England's
sports original. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Type that into your app search, then download.
More of Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
We always stay ahead of the game, and that conversation happened long before the 12-second play. And again, you know, I thought that was the best thing to do for our team. And honestly, you know, either way, unless you execute the play, you'll be criticized. Like, we go for two and we don't get it a couple games ago, and this time we kicked the extra point, and I felt good. I felt like that was the right thing to do. So it's not like I'm stuck anyway. I think, you know, there's a combination of things that go into that decision, and ultimately it's my decision, and that's what I decided to do.
That apple I ate tasted terrible, so I'm never buying oranges again.
Nope.
What the hell was that?
Never. Never, ever. The Patriots did not go for two. Said it was the right decision. I wanted them to at that point. By the way, if you're watching on Twitch, another disturbing visual. This time it was Joe Biden. Who? What's Joe Biden going to do tonight? You know, like, is he just...
He's going to be sleeping.
Got to be a weird night for Joe
Who's
Biden.
Who's he rooting for? What do you think?
I think he's rooting for his vice president.
I think it's very much up for debate.
Yeah.
If he's as vindictive and spiteful as I am and a lot of people in this world are, I think it's very much up for debate.
I do think a part of him feels he's mad that they pushed him out, for
I
sure.
think there is
could
a part of him.
Could you imagine if they didn't?
Oh, I don't even want to talk about it.
Could you imagine if he was still the nominee right now?
It would have been a clear victory for Trump.
I can't even imagine what this would look like. He's coming out there still speaking. I know he's made like speaking engagements and things like that, but you know how you have to really campaign down the stretch?
Oh, yeah.
You have to go out and be everywhere and do all that, and him just, you know, like, oh, it would have been brutal.
And by the way, and listen up.
But he can run. There was that clip of him running.
I remember him falling off his bike.
I was just going to say, I remember when the clip he fell of
that.
Off the
that was unfortunate.
Which, by the way, he was riding his bike around at the very least at his age, which is kind of impressive. But
how old is he?
He did fall off it.
82?
83, 82? I just want to be alive then.
I know.
Well, maybe. See what kind of condition I'm in.
Joe Biden is 81.
81.
He turns 82 in a couple weeks, actually.
Happy birthday, Joe Pa.
Yeah, happy early birthday there to Joe Biden. All right, 617-779-7937. We played that Gerard Mayo clip for you right there because Andy Hart pointed this out, and I think I saw this statistic floating around. No one's going for two anymore. Teams in the NFL are in a position where they could go for two, get the win, and walk out of there conquering heroes, and they just don't want to do it. They're kicking instead.
0 for 4 and 0 for 4 this weekend. There were opportunities to go for two with the game on the line. Nobody did, and nobody won. And last night's was particularly, I thought, glaring going against Patrick Mahomes in that situation. And we joked about it, you know, Baker Mayfield kind of knew as soon as the overtime toss went Mahomes' way, the game was over.
I mean, we all knew as soon as the Chiefs got it, it's like, okay.
And it's analytics and the numbers, I put them in the email chain, but the numbers agreed with it, but like, the numbers are stupid. Like, this is where I would go with it. We're in this era of AI, right?
Yes.
What do I need a real head coach for if I can just run the numbers?
Good point.
Just have like some computer screen on the sideline that tells everything. Right? Like, what do I need human beings to assess the situation for? The gut feel. Like, you went on a rant yesterday about clutch.
Yes.
Well,
momentum, I think.
Or momentum. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, momentum. Sorry. Momentum. There's momentum in a game. There's clutch. There's gut feel. There's, oh, that guy just got hurt. Or that guy's limping. He's still on the field, but that guy's banged up. Or that guy's gassed. You know, there's... You see it all. It's a workhorse running backs. Is he getting stronger, really? Or does he look like he's just about can't stand up? And I don't know if he can run it down our throats in overtime. Like, there's a million hypotheticals or variables that could go into play. And yet we're just going to go by the analytics. And I don't know about you. I don't really buy a lot of the talk about this. There was the concerning answer post game. Was Drake May being tired? Did that play into it? That's a great question. I just don't really want to get into it. What? Why not? If it's a great question, then
Shouldn't we get into it? If you said that's a dumbass question, I don't want to get into it. Yeah. Okay, I understand. Let's move
then that
on.
That means no, of course not. Or
but if it's a great question,
case, it's sort of ambiguous. But yes, I know what you mean.
And then Drake May talked about it yesterday and didn't deny that he was gassed. Didn't deny that he was tired, but didn't say necessarily he did or didn't want to go for it. Wouldn't admit if anybody kind of else wanted to go for it. It's just, I don't necessarily believe that Gerard Mayo would, like, in times of peace, they prepare for these situations. Did that feel like in times of peace they were well prepared?
No.
I didn't think
so. It didn't seem like they were 10 steps ahead of everybody, like Van Pelt said. It didn't seem like any of those things were the case. By the way, we keep pushing this topic off. You have a bone to pick with Elliot Wolf.
Oh, I do. Yeah, this is 2 days in the making. I hope I didn't lose any fire here. Anybody who watched closely late in that game in Tennessee on Sunday, you saw the usual people on the Patriots sideline.
Yep.
Gerard Mayo, assistant coaches, trainers, doctors, players.
Covington, Van Pelt.
Everybody.
The whole gang.
And then all of a sudden, like, walking across your screen was a guy in a suit, and you're like, is that a doctor?
What's Arthur Blank doing down there?
Elliot effing Wolf.
Elliot.
That's him. Was on the sideline in a back-and-forth tight game, which, by the way, was a back-and-forth tight game the whole day. This wasn't some blowout situation where he was coming down to do the post-game handshake and right. Then, oh, man, a game developed while I came down in the elevator. Why is Elliot Wolf on the sideline, A, just in general, but on a team where one of the issues, the questions, the challenges that Gerard Mayo faces is who's making decisions, who's in charge? Who's a puppet? Right. Are there strings? Is there a hand up your back that's moving your mouth and telling you what to say, what to do, and how to act? And Elliot Wolf is on the sideline in a dogfight game with the number one pick on the line, a winnable game. I hate it. I couldn't hate it more. I believe Matt Groh, I also saw in the background down the edge of the bench area, which I find slightly more acceptable. But if I'm Gerard Mayo, get the F off my bench. This is my bench area. This is where coaches and players belong.
Right.
Not general managers, not EVPs, executive vice presidents of player personnel, whatever you are.
Blazers down there with a hammer.
Like that's
smacking her hand.
That's sort of the connection of thought, right?
Yeah.
You're only or Jonathan. Why isn't Jonathan down there? If Elliot Wolf's gonna be what reason should Elliot Wolf be in the bench area during a game?
Not one that I can think of. Unless there was some sort of move that was going to get mad, you know, maybe something like that. But even
now
then,
we're pulling guys.
You're pulling guys.
And by
the way,
don't
get
Godchow hurt. Some idiot's going to give me a three for him.
Yeah, right. That's a great question. I didn't notice him. I didn't notice this at the time.
I hate it.
You were all over it, and we just happened to put it off from yesterday. But yeah, I don't like it either. I didn't see it at the time. They're usually up in the in the press box, right?
They usually
like near the press box,
or a private suite box, or a box with injured players, like somewhere. Up watching the game, wearing a suit, as you should be doing, drinking a Diet Pepsi, having a hot dog at halftime. Some teams, they actually sit with the owner, and you have that opportunity. This is a sort of cliche thought that GMs undercut coaches by sitting up there with the owner and being like, I got to tell you, Jalen Polk's a good player. I drafted him. This coach is not getting the most out of Jalen Polk. We need a coach who can. And then the coach gets fired, and that guy sticks around for three more years at $4 million a year, makes an extra $12 million because he basically stabbed the coach in the back from the press box during a game.
Yeah, he wasn't up there in the owner's box, that's for sure.
No, he wasn't.
There was some gentleman up in the owner's box covered in tattoos who was like high-fiving everybody.
Yeah, I don't know who that was.
We're not sure who he was, but he seemed like he was having a grand old time up there, but it was not Elliot Wolf. Elliot Wolf down prowling the sidelines.
Why?
Interesting. I don't know.
And would that, if you were Gerard Mayo, you said it doesn't really bother you.
Well,
or you didn't
if
notice.
I was Gerard Mayo, it would bother me.
If I were Gerard Mayo, I would be...
If I was Gerard
really
Mayo, I'd be
pissed.
Like, get the bleep out of here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't sneak into your draft meeting room and, like, hang out behind you with a bat trying to bing you over the head and take control.
But do we know for sure that he doesn't do
that? No, we don't know for sure that he doesn't do that. I was really surprised to see it, and maybe there is some explanation that I would find acceptable that, I don't know, Patriots PR would try to spin to me, spin zone it. Maybe we'll do a spin zone on this tomorrow if they reach out to me why I shouldn't be angry about the fact that Elliot Wolf is in the bench area in a one-score potential overtime game in the fourth quarter for a coach who is struggling to find his footing as the leader of men.
Very, very good questions. Andy Hart asking the big questions. Let's see. Maybe someone will answer them. Maybe we'll get a word from the Patriots.
You know who could call?
Down there. Stacey James? Stiz? Who are you pointing at?
Elliot.
Oh, right. Okay.
didn't go quite as smoothly makes as more the sense first time. Yes. But
no, I get it. All right,
work in progress here.
617-779-7937 is your phone number. The Boston Celtics with a nice road trip, 3 wins in a row. They got Steve Kerr and the Warriors coming up tomorrow. And we have some additional NBA news relating to another team in the East who's going to be without their star for a couple of games, a team that's already doing very badly. We'll get into all of that next.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday. WEEI. New England Sports
Original. It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.